putting together an audio show which entertains and educates the globe is a piece of cake. When you've got the Midweek Drive and Midweek Drive Morning Edition teams on the case for Siren 107.3 FM and sirenonline.co.uk.
So, Cameron, what is the weather like in Nashville?
Yeah. When I left for the gym this morning, which, I mean, it's 11:09, or just after 11 o'clock here, and when I went to the gym about 6 hours ago, it was 53 degrees, it was beautiful, and now it's like 43 degrees, so it's raining, it's just nasty.
And that's why we like changeability in the weather forecast. It's very important.
There you go.
Congratulations to yourself and Julia Tilbury. You've now been married for over 4 English years.
Yes.
There we are.
Which, you know, when it's the same years as American years.
Is it really?
No exchange.
I thought
an English year, actually, Mary, was the equivalent to, I don't know, to that 2.5 American years on the basis of, just look at the presidential candidates.
But we have more Euro years. We get more Euro years out of it.
Well, what's Euros? Let's move on, because that's a different line entirely. Quickly into today's musical choice, which I know you're going to launch with us in tremendous force, so that Claire Margerrison will be able to hear you, even though she's way on the other side of the studio. It's all right, Claire. Don't worry. We'll sort the home through. It will work out perfectly well. We've already mentioned the name of Brianne Tyler. It's up to you, or indeed Brianna Tyson. What am I saying, Tyler?
I have no idea.
Different line. Nothing to do with Facebook and Throwback Thursdays, but there's a clue in the title.
There you go.
Over to you, Cameron.
Yeah, this young lady I met, I think I've been friends with her on Facebook for a couple of years, but we never met. And then when we had the country radio seminar here in Nashville a couple of weeks ago, I met her, and she was really nice, and it was finally nice to meet. So we got talking, or her manager and I got talking, and we said, well, let's get her on the show here. And we're also featuring her as our National Access Super Pick of the Week on our National Access show, heard on 41 radio stations around the world. So you get a sneak peek of it. She's going to be on that this week. I'm going to see her play tonight here in Nashville. So if anybody's listening kind of within the Nashville area right now, 3rd and Lindsley tonight, 6 o'clock, free admission. It's going to be a great show. Brianna Tyson, this is a brand new song for her, and she got the Vince Gill seal of approval. Vince said that hearing this woman's voice, you're going to freak out, and we did when we heard it. This is called Throwback. Brianna Tyson is on Siren FM. Obviously, it's throwback as in fishing, perhaps, not Facebook at all, Throwback Thursday. No.
Never know. Sometimes you just get a bit confused. Claire enjoyed that so much that rather than freaking out in the studio, she went to powder her nose and ensured that she could listen to the whole thing in full force. So needless to say, Claire, we come to you first. What did you make of Brianna Tyson with
what I heard,
Throwback?
What I heard, I loved.
How much was that, like 5 seconds?
Yeah, but doses.
It was like, small. It was all you needed.
Claire is actually going to decide to take Brianna Tyson in installments, 5 seconds a day, which means that by the time we actually get to the end of March, she'll have heard the whole song, which is brilliant.
Exactly.
Tessa Snort.
I thought it was very modern-day Shania Twain.
Modern day.
I did.
Shania
Tessa
Twain.
Was rocking out here.
Oh, well, I liked it.
Our Peterborough correspondent is back in full force. She was gutted that she missed out on talking to our genuine cowboy last week, who was, of course, equally gutted to not be speaking to you good self, but still, it was a great routine. He will win. Austin Wallet, the person who stood in for Cameron, whilst Cameron was actually having his nose powdered, quite literally. I've heard about these Access TV shows and what you get onto. Yeah.
No, it wasn't Nashville Access. It was actually the television series Nashville that I was working on last week.
You were on the TV series Nashville. Did you get a chance to say hello to Hayden Panettiere?
Oh, I wanted to ask.
I can't tell you who was there when I was working, because they get really uptight about that. I've been doing a lot of work on the series Nashville lately. So I was on there yesterday, Monday. Monday I was on there.
So when you say you're on the series Nashville, and you know, I'm not wearing my investigative reporting hat from this point of view, does that mean that you actually are playing yourself? Or is it a case of you've got a character that you're developing for the show?
It's kind of the latter. Yeah. I mean,
It's all right. It's all right. We can appreciate this. Tessa, anything you'd like to add?
I just want to ask, when is it out in the UK again? Because I'm sure it's not out yet, and I wait months. And
two
months.
Seasons already. We're up to season three.
Yeah, I know. I've watched one and two.
We're on season four here, so you'll get it next season, I guess, next year. It's pretty cool. It's great because there are so many talented people on there, and you get, you know, a lot of the songwriters and people in Nashville are hanging around, and it's really cool. We've been doing a lot of work there.
It's one of the box sets I haven't actually got around to watching it yet. These days, I suppose, I could actually just download it onto a different side of things entirely. Just do that. Anyway, enough of such stuff. We're here to talk about Brianna Tyson, you know, and quite rightly.
That's right.
Because, you know, that's the focus, not Cameron's budding acting career on whether or not she's connected with Hayden Panettiere, who, you know, obviously says doesn't even wear the cheerleader's outfit in Nashville. Different show entirely. Emily, what did you make of Brianna Tyson?
Sorry, I'm still just appreciating the Heroes reference.
I dropped them in, you see, for the aficionados. They go for it. Carry on.
I enjoyed it. I thought it was good fun. I was tapping my feet along to it. Although, I suppose it's not quite one you could full-on dance to, I don't think. But it was good fun.
Good fun. Mary Dancy, would you dancy to it?
Sorry. Oh, my gosh. That was great. Well done. Yes, I would dancy to it.
Very good. Emma.
Yeah, I really liked it, actually. It was definitely a catchy one. I think we were having a little bop along.
It could be critical because, I mean, this is going to be the voting in a few moments, and it could be all left up to Fiona Williams.
Well, it's a tense moment.
Exactly. Do we actually officially... do we become the 3,176th person to actually like Brianna Tyson on her Facebook page?
Ooh. Or are you the Russian judge?
I'm not going to go even further down that line. Please, Polish, if nothing else. Fiona.
Well, 6 out of 6 good reviews here. I thought it was really good.
You would, even from Missouri, you would still say, via Edinburgh. So I take it that we shall like it?
Yes.
Right, button's been pressed, it's been liked, I'm not going to unlike it, so there we are. It's done and dusted. So there we are. See, now already we get more pages we might like. I mean, I don't know these people. You know, anyway. Emma, do you think we should invite Brianna onto the show, though?
I think we should.
I mean, bear in mind that she beside herself to be featured in England and stoked. I don't know.
Stoked.
Right.
I'm stoked like about life always.
We could just ask her, has she ever been to the Potteries? Just no Staffordshire.
I live near Stoke, it isn't a good thing.
So will you be working your magic to bring Brianna on board in the near future?
Yes, I will. Mm. I'll work on it, and I should have an answer for you tonight.
She's just so darn speedy, it's just phenomenal. Right, Emma. We've got a little bit of time because our Jersey correspondent is unwell. Okay, aww. Yeah, I know. It's
there's
tough.
Something it's going on.
There's definitely the something effect. There. But clearly, in terms of the responses and everything that we actually had, we did say we'd send positive vibes to Anna to effectively work through for that particular basis. And the official line that she sent to me a matter of 2 hours ago was, "Hi, Alex, sorry to say I can't do today. Have lost my voice, or at best sound like a squealing pig."
Well, that's not good for radio, is it?
Work for Babe. You can sit down. Am laid up, brackets in bed, with a nasty virus. Hope your week is better than mine. Aww. I don't intend that's to get so laid emotional. Up with a nasty virus, but you know, that's the bottom line. But Anna, we send all best wishes to you from that point of view. So Fiona, would you like to ask Cameron any particular questions? Not the last two ones, don't worry, we've got a bit of time. You know, you can throw him any kind of sort of lines here. You can ask about his phenomenal sort of just general career in many ways. It's up to you, Fiona. What would you like to know? Oh, hello. Is there somebody else that's joined in there? Have you got a child there, Cameron, or are you just sort of wandering around?
No.
Right.
No, okay. I'm just walking. It's a saxophone. So you can't tell a saxophone from a child screaming.
No, and that's the reason.
That pretty much defines jazz.
That's that. Funny enough, we'll be featuring some jazz with Scott Joplin later on in the production, but that's for Annette Andre. Anyway, enough of that. Over to you, Fiona.
Yeah, do you have any favourite artists or musicians you'd like to recommend right now?
I mean, that's how like, to actually select from his children. It's unbelievable.
He's got so many.
Yeah, I mean, I'm a big George Strait fan. Love George Strait. I really like more traditional country music. And, I mean, Austin Waller, he's doing real well. And he's kind of in that Chris LeDoux thing, a lot of rodeo references, real cowboy. So I like that stuff a lot.
And I think Austin Waller did very well on the show, did he not, Emma?
Yeah, I think he did a pretty good job.
Did you listen to the show, Cameron, or is your new TV career that takes off with respect
he's
to Nashville
famous
and
for
Nashville
us
access?
Now.
I don't have time to listen to those podcast things. What do you think it is?
No, I did. I did. I listened to it. It was a really good interview. I was happy for it. It was cool.
There we are. Well, you can always come back, you see, because we just the one off. Because I mean, obviously, Tessa needs to speak to him.
Oh, I do.
In fact, it's amazing, Peterborough connection, because as we said, the National Cycling Awards that we actually had, questions about. Oh, from Peterborough. It's the first thing he asked me, actually. He said, Peterborough. Where's that person from Peterborough? Anyway, Emma, last two questions, please, for Cameron Tilbury.
Yes, Cameron, have you enjoyed your telephonic link with us today?
It's been great, and great having six of you there. That's cool.
It is fun having lots of us in the studio.
In a real sense, it's just as well Professor Jason Whittaker was unable to make, because he did
there
just
would be no room.
We'd have to sort of say to the head of school, you know, I'm sorry, you're just going to have to sit in the corner there, basically. It's a different line on that basis, but you know, that's the important thing. Anyway, next question, please, Emma.
Yes, Cameron, would you like to join us again on the programme next week?
I'll be back. Looking forward to it.
Kelly Duncan Joyner, I'll say that again, Kelly Duncan Joyner from Los Angeles will be joining us on the show next week, because it was Kelly who actually represented Amy Rash and kind of was responsible for Kitty Decides connecting with us. Happy birthday, Amy Rash, by the way, just a couple of days ago. Wish you all well. That's the reason it's important to declaring that.
It is kind of a little guilty pleasure, that song, isn't it? I kind of love it and hate it at the same time.
That's just so true, so much of life in so many ways, but there we are. Happy birthday, as we said, to Carolina Hyos. We'll be playing one of her tunes later on, and Nicola Clancy, a midweek drivette from a wee while back. But life continues onwards, and next Tuesday, Emma, where will we be?
Oh, we're going to
FAB.
Yeah.
In Manchester.
You see the way. I was like, it's something to do with Thunderbird.
Starburst. All sorted through there to meet the man who is actually in the current edition of Starburst. Not just got reviews of Doctor Who magazines and Doctor Who comic scenarios. Not only has he actually got his usual sort of ace column, he's got interviews. It's Ed Fortune. Ed, welcome to the program. How are you?
Hello, sir. I'm very well indeed. Hey. I should, in fact, be in the Starburst Secret Thunderdome right now, but I am, in fact, in transit. So if there's a little bit of background noise, that's what's going on there. How are you, lovely people?
We can cope. That's the important thing. And introductions time, full force. We have six marvellous folk. It's like, you know, Suicide Squad, but all female. Tessa Snar, Emma Tinson, Claire Margerison, Emily Jones, Mary Dancy, and Fiona Williams are with us. And Emily, you've been doing some research into Ed Fortune and actually would like to praise him for a little archive article he put together on a show which is one of your own guilty pleasures.
Yeah, I saw the article you wrote about Lost Girl recently.
Oh, goodness me. it's a very Canadian show, I think is the easiest way to describe that. It's a very Canadian indeed.
A very Canadian show.
I mean, yeah, it's very Canadian. Just watch it, you'll know what we mean.
It's maple syrup everywhere.
Lost Girl is like nothing that you get in mainstream American or British TV. The views are slightly different. There's a lot more nudity. There's a lot more willingness to talk about relationships and sex. It's great fun. It's an absolute, you know, corker of the show. But you get the same with, say, another Canadian show would be Made Up Mysteries. Now, the Made Up Mysteries, again, deal with all sorts of issues that you just never get on, say, Castle or you know, Morse.
Phenomenal. Let's just do a quick survey. Claire Margerison, have you accessed Lost in your time?
I have not.
No. You've been Mary Dancy, as Secretary of the Science Fiction.
No.
Don't
judge me. No.
Exactly. Tessa Snart.
I haven't
Lost.
Either.
Emma.
No.
And Fiona?
Nope.
No. Well, there we are, you see.
Well, one out of six.
Yeah. Two out of seven. Exactly. Three out of eight.
It's okay.
Percentages are going up all the time.
It is good. It is worth a watch. And it's better than some of the other ones, like the Librarian one that I watched recently and wasn't
a fan
of.
You're not a fan of the Librarians?
I was not.
Given 8 out of 10, 8 stars, I should say, in the current review scenario for season one.
I only watched the first episode and that was enough for me. It was just too cheesy.
It is low budget, silly fun, the Librarians. If you like Librarians or you like the premise of the Librarians, try Genevieve Cogman's The Invisible Library series, which is just, it's a combination of Read or Die and L-Space from the Discworld. Absolutely marvellous madness all the way through.
I'm good because I do love the Discworld, so I have to give that a try.
Timeless building.
Oh, someone's talking.
I know, it's very strange. It's all right. Channels were sort of, it's from beyond. Obviously, somebody's talking to us because we're on radio. That's the important thing. And if you're talking to the radio, don't worry, we can hear you. Independence Day, Gerard Loughe. An Irish music video and movie director, best known for working in genres such as horror and science fiction, you have produced a quintessentially, I think, potentially award-winning interview in the current edition, that would be edition 422, of the world's longest-running magazine of cult entertainment, which we'll be seeing next week.
Oh, I'm so excited. We're going to the
Thank you very much for that. I mean, The Night People is a great piece of short fantasy fiction. It really is. It's urban fantasy. You can guess roughly what the theme is from The Night People, but he takes it and runs with it, and the budget is practically zero, but what he does with nothing is very impressive.
His response to crowdfunding, I thought, was particularly interesting insofar as he can't say he's a big fan of it, really.
It's funny how it's quite divisive. It's the same with the games design industry as well, especially board games designers. They're much more interested. Some board game designers live on crowdfunding, and others despise it because it kind of takes apart the community. It all depends on what you do with it, really. It's another tool at the end of the day.
Exactly so. So, Claire, bearing in mind that next week on Wednesday, we will, of course, have had the first in our mini-series of science fiction film classics, which we'll be launching with Planet of the Apes. What would you like to quiz Ed Fortune on at this particular moment in time?
Gosh, so much stuff.
So much stuff.
I guess I'd like to ask about, are there any sort of tropes that you're seeing repeating in fantasy fiction at the moment? I'm currently reading a manuscript for a Lincolnshire publisher, actually, for a fantasy book, and it's very Hunger Games. Are there any sort of big tropes you're seeing at the moment emerging?
There's a couple. One that is annoying me slightly is a young girl's story of discovery, as written by someone who in their 50s who's regretting their past life decisions. Sometimes that really works, sometimes that really doesn't. What I'm also finding is an inverting of that kind of, you know, that lone female fuel thing, theme, trope, and that's sort of become inverted to become something that's like, you know, the main female character is weak, you know, is whiny, and it's like, I don't like that. I want the character to grow in strength as the story progresses. Because at the end of the day, anti-utopian stories have a massive potential to be heroic and should be. And we have a problem, you know, you can write a cracking story and an engaging story and deliver a message. You don't just have to be miserable all the way through, which is a glowing trope, I find.
And that sort of means so much, particularly if you're concerned about Chris Chibnall taking over the reins of Doctor Who. And I don't intend to go down that road, because I think, you know, we have to draw a line under that correspondence. And, you know, we had a long debate with Alan Stevens last Thursday about the rights and wrongs of that and so on. He might be wonderful. Then again, he may not be. Stay with us. We've got 31 seconds, which will take us into a completely different superheroic theme.
Come the Teen Titans, a quartet of towering talent. Kid Flash, whose speed defies the eye to follow. Wonder Girl, swift and powerful super lass. Speedy, whose fantastic arrows perform awesome feats. Aqualad, bold and daring marine marvel. Fabulous foursome for right against might, the Teen Titans.
So the big question, Ed, is which one of those original Teen Titans, of course taken from the classic, the original 1960s series, and of course a series which featured Aqualad, Wonder Girl, of course Speedy, not to do with his habits, it's just a case of he was Green Lantern, Green Arrow's assistant, and of course Kid Flash, because Robin hadn't joined them at that stage, which one would you most identify with?
Oh, blimey. I'd have to go for Kid Flash, Wally West.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I don't know. I always thought Aqualad was...
That's who I'd want to be. I don't think I'd be any of them. But that's
really?
I
felt that Aqualad has got moments to... How we'd relate with porpoises these days in our politically correct time, I don't know, but still.
Have you seen Young Justice and their take on Aqualad? Absolutely amazing. The fully realised Atlantis, absolutely. And the same guy who did Goggles, the TV series, did Young Justice. And there are constant rumours, much like Firefly, there's constant rumours that it's coming back. I'll believe it when I see it.
Firefly isn't going to return. Look, I'm sorry. You know, it's not. You know, I mean, we had the movie Serenity. That's it. You know, they've moved on. You know, Morena Baccarin, she's going to have a baby. She's already having to deal with that Commissioner Gordon in Gotham. She's got, she had to deal with the aliens in V. She's got soap operas and things.
And neither is Gargoyles, neither is Young Justice. But you can kind of tell how much love fans have for the thing by how many times they keep... I mean, people keep saying that Blake Seven's coming back, and I will believe that when I see it.
Well, on the plus side, Paul Darrow is getting a bit healthier these days, so, you know, kudos to Paul, so at least he's still functioning, but it's important.
If Gilmore Girls can come back, I'm sure other things can emerge out of the woodwork.
That's totally the same.
Do you know what I mean? Definitely.
Do you know what I need to come back? Alphas. Alphas was brilliant.
Do you know,
really,
Emily, that's very good. I mean, I felt Alphas was vastly underrated. Possibly,
I loved it.
Possibly because it was another in the superhero genre. It kind of riffed on Mutant X and various other things. But Alphas, two seasons left on a cliffhanger. Why don't you write an ending yourself? Do some fan fiction.
Well, that's not the same. I might write an angry letter to the Sci-Fi Channel. I don't know.
I'd have another four seasons of Odyssey 5.
Absolutely, yeah, Odyssey 5. It's probably before the time of these fine young folk, because it was 2001, 2002, when they weren't even in their teenage years. But Odyssey 5, actually, the premise was orbital astronauts going around the Earth. Suddenly the Earth effectively explodes, it ceases to be, but they go back in time. Was it a year or 2 years, if I recall?
One year.
They've gone back one year in time. They know the Earth's going to blow up in a year. How are they going to cope with it?
Basically, they've got one season. No, it's 5 years. It's 5 years. They've got 5 years because it's Odyssey 5.
Of course, as in the Star Trek five-year mission. You see, it just shows English years, American years. It's so challenging.
So confusing.
They had 1 year in the end, so one season. It didn't quite get them to the end. But, Claire, you had an interesting comic or graphic narrative / sequential storytelling question for the Fortune Meister.
Yeah, I have a really good friend called Gemma, who...
A real friend who I have met in person. We're all adults here, you know.
She is a real human being. No, she's great. And she's very into comics. And she sent me recently Paper Girls, issue one, which I absolutely loved. I just read today. And I'm definitely going to be reading
Has
more.
That crossed your critical survey, Paper Girls, Ed?
It hasn't, actually. I haven't seen that. Is that an indie small press production?
I have no idea. I just know that I think it was originally released in like 1998 because they had some pictures and comments from people that was very, very 90s. But it's really, really good. I definitely recommend it.
And remember, Claire, you were also born in the last century. Sorry.
I was. It's true. It's true.
As indeed we all were. But that'll be changing before too long, I'm sure. So that one for you then, obviously, Ed. Now, what can we look forward to? That would be Emma and myself, because I think everybody else is either in lectures doing various other bits and pieces. We'll just have to
wait.
Yeah. Technically, you've got a Bernie Russell thing, but don't worry. Bernie actually said, I gather, by speaking to various other things, that he would have even signed up for Origins of Modern Britain himself if he were able to. So. It's okay. But what can we expect next week, Ed, when we kind of land in Manchester at the Fab Cafe? And by the way, has the gentleman who was getting married returned safely? From his honeymoon, obviously.
With an enormous grin on his face as well.
Too much information. As long as he's got back safely, that's the important thing.
But, I mean, the Fab Cafe, basically, the way to describe Starburst Towers has the actual offices themselves, which look a lot like Marble Ball Pen.
It's like Manchester Disneyland.
We've got basically a bullpen, and you go down, there's the radio station, which is Fab Radio, and then you cross the road and there's the Fab Caf, which is a little cave full of, it's not a little cave, but it's a cave full of starships and booze is the best way to describe it. It's got some very weird bits and pieces. My favourite piece of memorabilia you can find is a hand drawing of Danger Mouse, Duckula, and other Cosgrove Hall characters drawn by Cosgrove and by Mr. Cosgrove himself. And it's framed and up on a wall somewhere. So, yeah, that's one of my favourite bits of the Fab Caf.
And we look forward to a general guided tour, an informed guided tour of that.
Yes.
Can I come?
It's way through a whole range of things. Yes, you know, we will sort of open this up in all sorts of manners. Okay, moving on. I just realised I typed in Danger House there as opposed to Danger Mouse.
It's a very different thing.
Exactly. Different level. Emily, have you got any questions you want to put to
Yeah, Ed? I have actually. I'm just reading your role. Sorry, I'm a bit of a nerd.
About 100 questions.
Yeah. I'm just reading your Roll for Damage article about the Fury of Dracula, the board game.
Oh, cracking game, absolutely. One, I mean, it started off as a Games Workshop game, and it's basically, it's a classic these days.
Hello? I'm currently playing Arkham Horror at home, and I love that game.
Yes.
But my question is how, because I'm trying to read quickly as well as be on the radio.
Multitasking, it's strange, but as a woman you can do this, Emily, go for it.
How long-ish would you say a session of Fury of Dracula would take?
About 2 to 3 hours, depending on how quickly Dracula gets cornered. If you have a cunning Dracula player who refuses to die, it can go on for a good 3 hours. If you're playing Dracula and you're foolish enough to try and take everyone on at once, then you're done for. So it's one of those games that once you've got everything set up, and set up does take about half an hour, I expect 2 to 3 hours play. It can be much faster, and much like Arkham Horror, if you know the game well, then you can get through it really quickly.
I mean, I don't trust board games anymore for
you
the time.
You don't trust board
for
games?
For the time it takes, after the time I tried to play Doom and it said 2 hours on the box, it took 9.
Oh, God.
Doom is very bored of the game, in fairness.
I tell you
what I've found the phrases for in the past, board games-wise, and it's a cooperative game, is the Thunderbirds game. Okay. It's a mix between Pandemic and Arkham Horror.
Okay.
Good news for Jamie Anderson then. Yay!
Anything can happen in the next half hour. Yes. Literally, the world is about to end in about the next turn.
Sounds like one of these midweek drive shows, honestly. You know, every week.
Your entire game, you're like, it's going to be the last round. This is going to be the last round. We're all going to die. The Hood's going to get us. You know, disasters in Africa, Europe. And somehow, you pull it all out of the hat and you save the day yet again until the Hood does something and you have another round.
And that, Claire Margerison, is why you will score well in your dissertation.
Of course. My hopes.
Fiona, you've been very quiet. I realise it might be speaking a different language, but never mind. Like a wonderful public relations undergraduate that you are, you're taking centre stage. Any thoughts from your good self?
Well, I recently saw Deadpool, and I thought it was absolutely amazing. However, I was wondering if you had any opinions on the sort of the breaking the fourth wall. If that was something that should be done more in movies, or what you thought of it?
What Deadpool does very well is they rein in the wacky, I think. Because breaking the fourth wall is really funny once, hilarious for maybe an hour, but as we've seen with movies like The Mask, if you keep doing it, it just becomes boring.
The gag or is that just Jim Carrey? I don't know.
That as well, but the gag works when it's a surprise, and it works better in the comics than it does in movies because of the narrative nature of comics.
Or indeed TV shows, because there are a number of instances where the fourth wall has been broken, and in a sort of playful sense as well, really, where it's been nod in the direction of the camera and so on and so forth. Tessa, thoughts from yourself?
Okay, well, mine's more of a general question. So I'd like to know, how do you prioritise your time with... I mean, I've looked at your bio and you have a lot of roles.
So
busy bee. And obviously, I'll be going into my second year... next year, but soon we're picking options and the timetable's going to be full.
Friendly media advice being sought here.
I would like to know.
I have a little timer and I set a time, so say 25 minutes. I do everything in those 25 minutes, then I do something else. I might make pancakes, I might, you know, have a bit of reading, do something else for 5-10 minutes, then come back to it. And when I start, I start, and when I finish, I finish. And it's good to have deadlines. Deadlines are really important. Deadlines are really useful. They will keep you sane, and they will also keep you employed.
Always useful in most sense of the word. You know, be sane and employed, actually ideal.
That's the goal.
don't make the mistake of saying, oh, well, I'll do that tonight. Don't. Set your time to do the thing. Do the thing. We all have bad days. We all have days when the words don't come to us. But you've got that time to do it. And that sense of urgency will see you through. Also, that works for me. It might not work for you. Everyone has to find their own way.
Or indeed, as the student motto used to go, never put off to tomorrow what you can postpone indefinitely. procrastination, it's just not what it used to be. Mary, any thoughts from your good self?
That advice you just gave us was really, really useful. So yeah. I'm definitely going to try that technique because, again, like I'm running...
Timer.
Yeah, timer.
Egg timer, possibly? Yeah.
Possibly, or just phone alarm.
Yeah. Right. Oh. That's your... We're in the 21st century, girl.
Really?
You reminded me, actually. I have to go and pick up my medal for the Procrastination Olympics.
There we are. Exactly. Yeah, it's still classic stuff. Emma, last two questions for...
The
time has turned, the package is there, and the Siren News team will wait for no sequential storytelling editor.
No
matter how good they have to be, no matter how much we want to keep them on the show, etc. Anyway, carry on.
Ed, have you enjoyed your telephonic link with us this evening?
Absolutely. I can only apologise for the chaos that's going on behind me.
It's been very relatively effortless, really. Right, I mean, we quite get into board games from that particular side of things, really, but, you know, it just works like that. Nice to see that, obviously, Claire's tutor has just passed by for dissertations, just wandering back and forth there, keeping an eye on you, Claire, which was nice.
Keeping me in check.
That's great stuff. And?
So will you join us again on the programme in the near future?
Absolutely love to.
In fact, next Tuesday we'll be seeing.
I'm so excited.
Very good.